I'm hoping.
Your execution works just fine. It's we'll get into it after the show. How's that? I've got some notes. There are some things we can go over. Not many, but, you know.
And let's get to suddenly out of nowhere. COVID rears its head with the Steelers. Matthew Stafford went through this last week, still played. Is that essentially the hope of what the Steelers have right now with Roethlisberger?
That would be my guess. I mean, it seems like there's a lot of misinterpretation of what exactly happened. It, essentially, with the Steelers, you had Vance McDonald last week. He missed practice or was even limited in practice. I forget which one it was, with what they deemed to be an illness. Now, contrary to popular opinion right now, it is possible for somebody to have one illness that is not COVID-19 and then get COVID-19 later, which really is kind of what the Steelers are representing by the fact that McDonald passed the test that he was given in order to play. He had to take one. He took a test. He played. Then he tested positive. From there, it's a matter of rounding up the people who were around him the most, and Ben Roethlisberger happens to be one of them. He sat next to him on the plane to and from. Ben, as far as we know, and far as what we've been told, we have no reason not to believe this, he has not tested positive for anything. However, being around him for the sake of precaution, that the protocol states that players must be removed, placed into quarantine, out of the facility, not around anybody else. That's really what he's doing. But at the same time, Roethlisberger happened to injure both of his knees during the win against Dallas, which is one of the least surprising yet most interesting Roethlisberger footnotes I think we'll have in quite some time. For him to have played the rest of the game after injuring both knees on, I'm guessing, a multitude of hits because he was under fire the entire game. On top of that, for him to have had exposure to COVID-19, there's a lot to take in with that, and I understand. But the idea here, I think, really more than anything, is the fact that he probably wasn't going to practice. And this is a way to not have to report on the status of his knee injuries. Note the plural with that. It is interesting. It seemed like the left one, which was kind of grotesquely bent on that one hit early on in the game, or I should say right before halftime, that looked to be more of the concerning one. He didn't walk walk pain-free for the rest of the game. He didn't look particularly good for large stretches of the game, but he came on in the second half, even though he looked pretty hobbled. So it makes you wonder if he's going to miss Sunday, if it's not going to be because of his knee. Now, you get into an issue with this now because if they report him as positive for COVID-19, he's got to miss 2 weeks. If it's going to be because of his knee, it's only one. The reason I say this, just as a reporter, it's going to be a headache to have to determine the difference between one thing or another if Roethlisberger does not play on Sunday, and that the conspiracy theories are going to run wild if they haven't already. So it's going to be a sticky situation, but frankly, anybody who's covered Ben Roethlisberger for 14 years, you know these sorts of things are kind of par for the course, especially over the second half of the year. There's always something kind of interesting as far as an injury report goes. And Mike Tomlin has become adept at playing within the rules, but using those rules to his advantage. He's not going to have to release information about the injury of his quarterback. And that's really where they are sitting now.
Yeah, because I'll give Mason Rudolph credit. The couple plays he was in, there are a series of Steeler fans in my neighborhood that I could tell had the shakes. Just thinking of last year.
It was pretty bad on a few of them. They didn't exactly ask him to go out and win the Super Bowl. And he didn't really deliver on any of that at all. You have to worry about a quarterback coming in off the bench, being cold, not really loose, and short-stepping his throws and sailing it kind of high. That's what happens when you don't really step into to a pass. He had at least one of those. He might have had another one on top of it. He didn't look particularly sharp, but it's a spattering of plays in a situation he wasn't really supposed to be in. And believe it or not, him, hiking the ball ended up resulting in the Steelers getting 3 points through a bizarre set of circumstances. They did manage to score on the drive that he was out there. So, if nothing else, he didn't turn the ball over. He didn't hurt himself. He didn't hurt anybody else. So there are positives to take out of it. Just not if you're going to hear that Roethlisberger can't play on Sunday. If it's going to be Rudolph, which it would be, if Ben can't go, even against Cincinnati, that's a tough game. And yeah, you get the shakes from last season alone. I mean, you might remember Rudolph was benched against Cincinnati in the ultimate tank bowl between the Steelers and the Bengals. The game that featured Duck Hodges, Mason Rudolph, and Ryan Finley under center, which is still to this day the worst quarterback game I've ever seen. So you hope that they're not in for that. And I think both sides have reestablished their quarterback position pretty well from last season.
Yeah. Look, it's something, though, that came up in that game, I thought, and it's now come up two straight weeks for the Steelers. I felt through the first five, six games, Minka Fitzpatrick, who played such a dramatic role in last year's team, had been okay to this point. But the last couple of games, he has come up with some big plays for them, really when they needed it. And I think that's really impressed me, the way he suddenly has brought himself back.
The thing with Fitzpatrick is, I don't want to label him a boom or bust player, but he's going to go for the big play. He's going to be around the ball. And that's going to cost him sometimes, and it's going to make him the hero sometimes. And in Pittsburgh, I think top to bottom, in the 20-plus games that he's played there, he's been the hero far more often than he's been the GOAT. So you've got to be encouraged with that now that they're kind of starting to fall his way. You remember that the big touchdown in the previous week's game that I don't want to say was necessarily Fitzpatrick's fault, but he stopped himself to what he thought was going to be a deflected pass, and he was going to be in position for the takeaway. That ball broke to him this time. Against Dallas, he was in position to make that, you know, kind of the same play, different part of the field, but very similarly. And that's the style of player that's the style of play that Minka has when he's out on the field. He's an all-pro because of that, and he's been the difference maker 2 weeks in a row. He's deflected the last pass in the end zone to take two wins.
Yeah.
So really, if you're looking at him not being aggressive, him not playing the ball as hard as he does, they're 6-2 and in real trouble heading into this game. So you're excited for that part of him. And he's a big part of a pass defense that's been kind of up and down this season. Some of that has to do with the fact that teams are avoiding him, because it's not like the only thing he's doing back there is cherry picking.
Right.
He's making plays on the ball where the ball is going. He's beating the ball to the player. I think he's played very well. He's had some spotty things here and there, but that's kind of what you get. He's sort of an all or nothing guy when he's trying to make a big play. And we've seen him be on the positive side of that more often than the negative to this point in his Steelers career.
Are they running the ball well enough, in your opinion? I mean, a lot's gone on Ben's shoulders. I mean, and it would help him to have more of a ground game, obviously.
They have no ground game whatsoever. I mean, to a point where in this game they went for it twice on fourth down and failed miserably both of those times. Short yardage has been an adventure to this point. And it's not for a lack of trying other things. I understand people keep saying you can't just run it up the middle. They're doing a lot of different things to set that up. In many cases, too, what we're seeing is Ben Roethlisberger at least demonstrating that they're in a run-pass option, meaning he's getting the ball, he's taking a look at whether or not he should hand off or throw, and it seems to me, if this is what they're doing, it seems to me it's taking him an exorbitant amount of time to make that decision, and it's killing the success rate of the play. The fourth down give to Connor out of the shotgun at the end of the game, play that you know is designed to seal the win. They're supposed to convert that. It's not a question of kicking the field goal and giving Dallas the ball back. It's very simply, we get a first down here, the game's over. That's right. What we want to do. People yell at them all the time for you know not playing to win. That's them playing to win. Kicking the field goal is not playing to win. The play call in and of itself isn't bad. It was the execution was terrible. It took them 5 seconds to hand the ball off. By that point, yeah, he's got nowhere to go. There are a lot of things that play into that. It's not simply the running back. It's not simply the offensive line. It's not even, heaven help us, the play call itself. There are a lot of things that are going into it. And for me, it's more, I haven't seen to this point there being any reason at all to have an RPO option within their offense. I don't know why they're doing that, or if Ben is just trying to sell it as such. But either way, it's taking them way too long to be able to run a lot of these plays that they're getting zero and negative carries on. And the more of that they're going to do, the less effective their ground game is going to be. We've seen it be fairly effective. Right. But in key situations, the short yardage situations, they're terrible. They're not converting well at all. And it's been Roethlisberger and a good young group of receivers making plays on third downs that's kept their offense going to this point. And we saw that run into problems against, you know, a pretty aggressive Dallas defense. I thought they did a good job. They had a good plan. Dallas isn't a good team because their offense is in shambles right now. Their defense has been fairly solid at times this season. We've seen them make plays. We've seen them rush the quarterback. They shouldn't have been able to stop the run as effectively as they did. And that to me is more of a measure of where Pittsburgh is trying to run the ball this season, which has been a disaster.
Yeah, because if Roethlisberger can't go, they'll need it more than ever this weekend.
I think that's safe to say, yeah. I think that really becomes problematic because with Ben in there, they're not able to run. I can't imagine Cincinnati or anybody, the worst team in football, is going to be real afraid of Mason Rudolph throwing the ball over the top on him. I don't think they're going to worry about that. I think they are going to stack up every gap and make sure Pittsburgh is not able to go anywhere. The more three and outs, which is really kind of a Mason Rudolph staple, the more three and outs they get, the better chance you have to win the game. We've seen that more and more out of Pittsburgh with Ben in there, with a healthy Ben in there, with, you know, a full complement of his receivers in there. They're not able to control the game as well, and because of that, we're seeing a lot of things really fall off. Statistically, it's noticeable. They're losing out on downs. The last 2 weeks, they're losing out on a lot of downs in the first half in particular when they've been sluggish to start. If they're not able to run the ball, I think this is going to be a challenge that Mike Tomlin puts on them this week. If they're not able to run the ball now, it's tough sledding. You know, I don't think this is a 16-0 team anyway. I don't think anybody's going to argue with me on that.
But
this race is long from over. Baltimore is not a bad football team. No. They got to play them again, and they're gonna take a loss somewhere. I mean, it's going to happen. It might not be Cincinnati, but Jacksonville plays them very tough. They've got Baltimore after that. The season's long from over for Pittsburgh right now, and they're going to have to fix that running game. It's a significant problem.
My friend, appreciate it very much. As always, brilliant execution by you.
Definitely. Thanks for having me, guys.